In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, now this is a bit odd, isn't it? For this is the day of commemoration, this is the day of remembrance for Timothy. On then this day of remembrance for Timothy, pastor and confessor, we read, we sang, we read and we sang, and from what did we read? Just a few brief moments ago, we read not from, say, St. Paul's letters to Timothy, but from John, of all things. Now, most of you know this about me already. Mine is a strange and, from my perspective, at least wonderful love affair with the gospel of love. But honestly now, I haven't been fooling with the pericope system just so I can say something today about my favorite buddy, St. John. The gospel of pericope choice for this day is this one. And the lesson is, well, okay, I do have one thing to admit this morning. I did fool a bit with the constraints of today's text. For the actual text appointed for today is but a portion of that which was just read, amounts, in fact, to no more than the first three verses of that which was just read. But for the sake of making it clear where we are in the gospel, in other words, for the sake of making it clear that these are the gospel's very last words, I ask the lector to read on to the very end. For the last words, they are. St. John's parting words, his parting testimony, they are. So, in parting now, and thinking also now of the final chapters of both Matthew and Luke, strikingly similar chapters in their themes and interests, I would suggest. In parting now, and thinking now also of the final chapters of Matthew and Luke, of what now does St. John seem to be speaking? Of what did we just hear? We heard of Peter and of John himself. So what's up with that, especially on this day of St. Timothy? What's up with that? And what especially does Peter then have to do this day with Timothy, of all people, with the sainted co-worker of Paul? Well, maybe Peter actually has everything to do with Timothy, and not just Timothy. For backing up a bit now, what is it again that the Catechism declares with reference not to John 21, but with reference to John chapter 20, of the day that the resurrected Lord breathed life into Peter and all of the rest, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." How does that go again? What does the Catechism say? Ah, yes, that's right. "I believe," declares the Catechism, "that the text speaks of church and of an office whose ministers are the called ministers of Christ. For when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, it's just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself." That, declares the Catechism, is what chapter 20 is about, at least in part. So what about chapter 21? Indeed, what about all of chapter 21? For the sequence there is as follows, beginning with verse 1. 7 of the 12, at the instigation of Peter, attempt a little night fishing, but fail miserably in their attempt and catch nothing. With the dawn of a new day, however, in the company of the resurrected Christ, and in response to Jesus' own directions, theirs is the privilege of a great multitude of fishes in the previously empty net. A multitude is gathered, and then the disciples too are fed by Christ. Not with the stuff in the net, mind you, but with other stuff are they fed, with prepared previously by Christ himself, other stuff are they fed that day. The sequence then is this in John chapter 21. First they gather, then they are fed, and then they watch as Jesus commissions Peter in threefold fashion, in a fairly personalized manner, you might say. Peter is commissioned by Christ in threefold fashion to feed still others. Gathering, fed, feeding. Gathering, fed, feeding. Of course. Of course. For this is what church is. This is again what church, what Jesus called, this is called ministers of Christ to become. Not little popes, mind you, but shepherds. Feed my sheep, declares the Son of God, not just to Peter, but to John and to all the rest. So what then does Peter have to do this day with Timothy? What then does Peter have to do with either me or you? Well, Peter has everything to do with Timothy and with me and with you, friends. Everything. For these things, the things of this gospel, stand written not only that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name, but also that you might know where and how such life, where and how such a Christ is to be had, is to be found, is to be enjoyed. Therefore, whether you number yourself among the called ministers of Christ or not, whether you aspire to the sacred office of shepherd of the sheep or not, today at least, be cheered, be enlivened, proven, observed in this, in the bread and in the flesh of the breakfast scene. That's right, in the bread and in the flesh, in his flesh for all flesh. For the bread of life that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh, declares he. Gathering, fed, feeding. Gathering, fed, feeding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.